A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "The priest shall take the pannier from you, from your hand, and lay it before the altar of the Lord your God. Then, in the sight of the Lord your God, you must make this pronouncement. My father was a wandering Aramean. He went down into Egypt to find refuge there. Few in numbers, but there he became a nation, great, mighty, and strong. The Egyptians ill-treated us. They gave us no peace and inflicted harsh slavery on us. But we called on the Lord, the God of our fathers. The Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with mighty hand and outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us here and gave us this land, a land where milk and honey flow. Here then I bring the first fruits of the produce of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. You must then lay them before the Lord your God and bow down in the sight of the Lord your God." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to the Lord. Be with me, O Lord, in my distress. Be with me, O Lord, in my distress. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High and abides in the shade of the Almighty says to the Lord, "My refuge, my stronghold, my God in whom I trust. Be with me, O Lord, in my distress. Upon you no evil shall fall, no plague approach where you dwell. For you has he commanded his angels to keep you in all your ways. Be with me, O Lord, in my distress. They shall bear you upon their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. On the lion and the viper you will tread, and trample the young lion and the dragon. Be with me, O Lord, in my distress. His love he sets on me, so I will rescue him. Protect him, for he knows my name. When he calls, I shall answer, "I am with you." I will save him in distress and give him glory. Be with me, O Lord, in my distress.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Scripture says, "The word, that is the faith we proclaim, is very near to you. It is on your lips and in your heart. If your lips confess that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him up from the dead, then you will be saved. By believing from the heart, you are made righteous. By confessing with your lips, you are saved. When Scripture says, 'Those who believe in him will have no cause for shame,' it makes no distinction between Jew and Greek. All belong to the same Lord who is rich enough, however many ask for his help, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus left Jordan and was led by the Spirit through the wilderness, being tempted there by the devil for 40 days. During that time, he ate nothing, and at the end, he was hungry. Then the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to turn into a loaf." But Jesus replied, "Scripture says man does not live on bread alone." Then, leading him to a height, the devil showed him, in a moment of time, all the kingdoms of the world, and said to him, "I will give you all this power and the glory of these kingdoms, for it has been committed to me, and I give it to anyone I choose. Worship me, then, and it shall all be yours." But Jesus answered him, "Scripture says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him alone." Then he led him to Jerusalem and made him stand on the parapet of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said to him, "throw yourself down from here. For Scripture says, he will put his angels in charge of you to guide you. And again, they will hold up you on their hands in case you hurt your foot against a stone." But Jesus answered him, "It has been said, you must not put the Lord your God to the test." Having exhausted all these ways of tempting him, the devil left him to return at the appointed time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to be the Lord Jesus Christ.
A pastoral letter from Terence Patrick Draney. Dear sisters and brothers, even the devil can quote Scripture. Did you not know that? We heard it in today's gospel. He tries to tempt Jesus three times. Each time Jesus replies with the word of God from Scripture. "Man does not live on bread alone. You must worship the Lord your God and serve him alone." So on the third temptation, the devil tries to outsmart our Lord by quoting Scripture himself. "He will put his angels in charge of you to guide you. And again, they will hold you up on their hands in case you hurt your foot against a stone." So what is required of us? Something more demanding than being able to quote the Scriptures. Only a couple of weeks ago, we were listening to the letter of St. James in our weekday readings, and he said something even more startling and challenging. "You believe in one God. That is credible enough. But the demons have the same belief, and they tremble with fear." Do realize, you senseless man, that faith without good deeds is useless. St. James has made his point very clearly. Without good works, without faith having a genuine effect in our lives, then it is not authentic faith. If our faith remains at the level of being a hobby, a pastime, an interest, or an intellectual curiosity, then we are no better off than the devil and his demons. If all this seems a little dispiriting and spiritually deflating, let's listen again to the prayer that was offered in our name at the beginning of this Mass. Grant, Almighty God, through the yearly observances of Holy Lent, that we may grow in understanding of the riches hidden in Christ, and by worthy conduct pursue their effects. Lent, then, is mainly about opening ourselves to the riches hidden in Christ, and to allow those riches to have a genuine effect in our daily lives. The problem is that our hearts are filled with all sorts of other things, rather than the fact that God raised Jesus from the dead, and our lips are so busily engaged in confessing everything and anything but that Jesus is Lord. Lent presents us with a blessed moment when, together with our brothers and sisters throughout the Christian world, we can pause and take stock. Now, with the gift of Lent, we can refocus our hearts, our spirits, our minds, and the lives of the riches of Christ. Let me offer you a few simple thoughts on how we might do this. Try to make the sacrifice of the Mass more central to your lives this Lent. In recent years, many parishes and people, especially those that could not get to Mass, or there could not go on their way home from work. It's not too late to start this. Some parishes put on Lenten study groups to help to deepen our faith. Look out for one in your parish or nearby. If you can't find one, there's plenty online. If you have the internet, you can tap into one of these. Then try and translate all this into good works. It can be too easy to donate money. I'm not saying don't do that. But again, many parishes have an SVP group, a CAFOD group, a food bank, a justice and peace group, and more. Think of joining them and making good works a permanent feature of your life. The Lord has brought us to this place, to this land flowing with milk and honey. As we have heard in our first reading, let's share it. Renewed now with heavenly bread by which faith is nourished, hope increased, and charity strengthened, we pray, O Lord, that we may learn to hunger for Christ, the true and living bread, and strive to live by every word which proceeds from your mouth. May we all have a fruitful and grace-filled Lent. Yours in blessed hope, Terence Patrick, Bishop of Middlesbrough.